Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. People stopping, staring. I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast wind, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone. Banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone. Everybody's talking at me, can't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. I won't let you leave my love behind. No, I won't let you leave.
Good afternoon. Happy Wednesday. It is Wednesday, August the 25th, 2021. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on Global Patriot Radio, here at blogtalkradio.com. And of course, we go every day, just not me. Mondays, Vito and Big Al, the Vito Esposito Show, featuring Big Al. Mamma Mia No Sharia. They go at 6 o'clock Mondays. That's 6 o'clock Eastern. Tuesdays, Eric is here with Radio Free Kafiristan. And believe it or not, there is such a place as Kafiristan. He goes at 6 o'clock as well. Wednesdays, of course, me, Hank Jones, at 5:30. Thursdays, back to 6 o'clock with the deplorable Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. And then Fridays, Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday. Andrew goes at various times, so check your info on that. Just come into blogtalkradio.com and then search Global Patriot Radio. And it'll tell you where our shows are and what time. Saturdays, Minister Osama Dakduk and the Beautiful Christie, Revealing the Truth About Islam. That one goes 10 o'clock Saturday nights. Now, that's going to be important as we're coming into college football season, because you don't have to watch those West Coast games if you don't want to. No, I'm telling you, you don't have to watch Utah State. You don't. Sundays, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. And again, as a reminder, that one, you have to download the app. You have to come in through a little bit of barriers, because there's been some scum types that have done stuff that's not cool. If you want to contact the show every day, if you call 319-527-6706, you get right in. You can listen. You can also hit 1 if you want to talk, and we see that you want to talk. We're not clairvoyant, not at all. We see a little icon that says somebody wants to talk. You can also email me, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter, at hpolysports. I'm on Facebook. Just type in Hank Jones Polysports. And, of course, like I said, you can always just come in the normal way through blogtalkradio.com. Look for live and then find Global Patriot Radio among the live chat shows. That's what's going on. Mrs. Hank is in the house. Our little Aussie, our adorable little Aussie is in the house. She has eaten. She eats at 5 o'clock Eastern time every day, roughly 5 o'clock. She eats in the morning, too. We feed her twice a day. We're not cruel or anything. We're not like sadists or... Yeah, as Mrs. Hank just pointed out, she eats better than we do. We're looking up deals in the paper, in the stores every week for good prices for her food, because she eats raw. She eats actual, like when we're eating like chicken and scraps and salads and stuff, she's eating like raw pork, raw beef, raw chicken mixed in with like heart and kidney. See, folks, I don't really owe it to everyone to tell you this, but if a dog lived in the wild, they wouldn't eat kibble. They actually wouldn't do that. No, they'd go after stuff. They'd kill little animals and stuff. And so we try to emulate that for our she's only like 30 pounds, 28 pounds, but she thinks she's like a wolf or something. She's pretty cool. She's tough. Anyway, let's get to the obits. Yesterday, this is a sad one. We lost Charlie Watts, the all-time drummer for the Rolling Stones. Charlie Watts was 80. Although no cause was given, he had been ill earlier this month. It had actually resulted in the postponement of their tour. At the time it was announced, he was said to be recovering from a, quote, successful recent medical procedure. Some said he had undergone heart surgery. Although the group has now rescheduled and they've enlisted the services of Steve Jordan to take over, that tour begins September 26th, by the way, in St. Louis. Anyway, it's hard to think this won't have a major effect on band members. Charlie Watts was so good, you really never noticed him. You really didn't. As a drummer in a band like the Rolling Stones, that's actually crucial. I mean, sure, there are the Neil Peart's and the Keith Moon's. In rock or in the larger world, you've got the Buddy Rich and the Gene Krupa types. They're noted drummers. But Charlie Watts was so good you didn't know he was there. It wasn't about solos or whatever, but Keith Richard depended on him, and Bill Wyman as well, talked about how they were dependent on Charlie Watts. He really kept them together. Yeah, aside from fighting off like drugs and alcohol in the 60s and 70s, and who wasn't, he did have a bout with throat cancer in 2004, but he's, like I said, he's literally been a literal rock of the Rolling Stones. No drama, no failure to perform in concerts or in studio, no run-ins with the law, no palimony dramas, no going to, you know, Switzerland every third year to have transfusions. Guy was rock solid, and on those occasions when he did veer off into solo work, and he did, it's pretty telling that he was able to get guys like Eric Clapton and Jack Bruce, B.B. King, Leon Russell, Ian Stewart, Pete Townsend, Ben Sidran, and others to play on his albums or at his shows. On kind of a personal note, I was telling Brother Tommy this the other day, I recently rewatched the documentary of their 1969 free concert. It was called the Altamont Free Concert. The movie was called Gimme Shelter. Even then, it kind of strikes you how Charlie Watts was very even-keeled. I mean, Mick wanted to, you know, be dramatic and be interviewed and go over the film again. Charlie Watts just kind of watched it and got up and walked out. Nowhere near the ego or the self-importance of Mick Jagger or Keith Richard. Not to say that those guys aren't talented and aren't great performers, but Charlie Watts was just different. He never threw his sticks. He wasn't about self-promotion. No witticisms about having to fight female fans off with a club like Mick or Keith would. Now, it's also noted that he was always with his wife throughout his whole Stones career. He met her right before he joined the Stones. He was with her the whole time. It was said when he visited the Playboy Mansion with the group, every time they came to the U.S. when they visited the Playboy Mansion, the other guys would head to the pool or whatever. Charlie Watts, they said, would always head straight to the game room. And evidently that game room is supposedly pretty tricked out at the time, used to be. I should know if it was or not. I mean, I wasn't there, but I know a tricked out game room. I've spent enough money over the years growing up that I would know a good game room. So if Charlie Watts says it's good, it's good. Last Friday, America lost its tallest man, Ukrainian-born Ivan Vovkovinsky. He was 38. He died of heart failure, which often happens in the rather tall. He was 7'8 and 1/3 inches tall. He'd been living in Minnesota. He actually passed away at the Mayo Clinic. He originally went there for treatment of a tumor that was pushing on his pituitary gland, hence the abnormal growth. He was famous for appearing on the Dr. Oz show and for showing up at an Obama rally wearing a T-shirt that said Obama's biggest supporter. He was also famous for a GoFundMe type campaign where he needed donations to pay for shoes for his huge feet, as he couldn't find shoes that didn't cause major pain. He got the money, and then Reebok provided the shoes for free. So, yeah, this guy was a Democrat, all right. But rest in peace. At 7'8" and 1/3 inch tall, that's going to be quite a show making that casket, for sure. Also yesterday, we lost Kyle Anderson. I mentioned this. He was age 33. No cause of death announced, but he was diabetic, and he had contracted COVID in 2020. The reason I mention it is because I was looking through. He was an Australian darts player. So, yeah, it's don't tell me we don't cover all that we can. Also yesterday, we lost Jerry Harkness. Most people wouldn't know the name, but I do, because he played on the 1963 Loyola of Chicago National Championship basketball team. That was a team 1963 beat Cincinnati in overtime. Loyola more recently has had a couple decent runs in the NCAA tournament. And they always hearken back, not Harkness back, hearken back to those, that time period. Anyway, Jerry Harkness was 81, no cause given. Monday, we lost pro wrestler Brick Bronski. He was mainly the Stampede circuit up in Canada. He passed of COVID at age 57. And then we also lost soap actor Michael Nader to cancer at age 76. Michael Nader was on, I think, Dynasty. His character was named something cool. It was like Rip or Jax or something. Whatever it was cool. And so he has passed away at 76. We also lost a couple of musicians this week. Simply Red keyboarder Fritz McIntyre at age 62. No, he wasn't the guy with the red hair. That's Mick Hucknall, the singer. No, this was their keyboarder. And then UB40 saxophone player Brian Travers also passed away at 62, both from cancer, different forms, but both from cancer. And then, of course, last Saturday we lost Don Everly. Oh, Hawkeye Mike just said Dex Dexter. That's who he played in Dynasty. That's right, Dex Dexter. Anyway, Don Everly, one half of the legendary Everly Brothers. He was 84. Noted for, obviously, the group, but also he'd written several songs that were done by other, both his group and other groups. He also wrote, of course, Kathy's Clown. That was his biggest contribution to their group. And then same day, we saw the passing of Connie Hamzy at age 66, fittingly. Fittingly, you ask? Why, yes. Because as was noted in her online obit, Connie Hamzy made her name as a groupie. Yes, a groupie. Groupies are now getting mentioned in the obits online. Gosh, I hope the internet's dead by the time I die. I don't want to see what it would say. Hank Jones liked playing frisbee with his dog and Candy Crush, and he was a Hawkeye fan. Oh, Mrs. Hank is really giving me the grief today. It was kind of funny. It was. I did tell the listening. Mrs. Hank just said, does she need to put Hank Jones in my real obituary? Of course. Unless the internet's dead by then we don't need to worry. Yeah. Here's a bit of an uh-oh from the world of sports. Los Angeles Angels staffer Eric Kay has, according to court filings, been a drug dealer for numerous Major League Baseball players, five of whom are prepared to testify against him. Uh-oh. Yeah, uh-oh. Included in the allegations? Kay supplied fentanyl to club member Tyler Skaggs, who died of an overdose of the drug back in 2019. Also alleged in the filings that he coordinated supply from nine different suppliers, used Skaggs as a middleman in the distribution of the drugs to other Major League Baseball players. Among the other sleaziest of his dealings, he would offer Angels tickets, memorabilia, autographs, signed memorabilia, including a baseball signed by three-time MVP Mike Trout. Prosecutors say they have text messages, phone recordings, up to and including the day before Skaggs' death, where he told one supplier he didn't want fentanyl because, quote, that shit is scary. Yeah, so here's hoping Eric Kay has some fun experiences in the joint. Hey, last week, FoxSports.com had an article about, I kid you not, quote, how to bet the Heisman. Now, look, I get it. Whether it's the glitz and glamour of Vegas or some sleazy off-track betting parlor in Chicago or some dump bar in SEC country, these days you can place a bet on almost anything. I get it. The betting on the Heisman now? Yeah, I got to make sure I lock in those odds on the flyer I'm placing on that weak side linebacker at Georgia Tech. Seriously, if you're betting on the Heisman, you probably need intervention. I mean, if you're betting on the Heisman now, you need to head to the track or to Vegas or Atlantic City or one of those riverboats or one of those Indian casinos. There are a lot more actual bets that you can place right now, and you can get a free drink if you want to park it at the slots for an hour or two. Seriously, I'll front you the coins. I've got like a 5-gallon water bottle full of coins. Now, okay, mostly nickels and dimes, I admit. I'm not even sure they have slots that take nickels or dimes anymore, or any actual currency for that matter. But man, if you're worried about Heisman picks now, I mean, you're just weird. Sorry, you're weird. If you're looking at Heisman, man, you shouldn't even be talking about, I mean, when they talk about it in September, it's whacked. Now, here's a shocker from FoxSports.com. They pick Oklahoma to win the Big 12. Now, they'll probably go out on a limb with their SEC pick and take Alabama. And you know what? Those daredevils, they're probably going to pick Ohio State to make the Big Ten championship game. Why waste the bandwidth for that? I mean, if you're going to spend 2 hours on an article and you actually want people to read it, I mean, okay. If you're going to spend that 2 hours and you want people to read the article, don't do stuff like pick the team that has won the last 6 Big 12 championships. In the 27 years of the actual Big 12, Oklahoma has won it 14 times. They're actually more of a sure thing than Bama in the SEC or Ohio State in the Big 10. I'm serious. They are. I mean, they've ruled it that much. But yeah, boy, there's Fox Sports going all out for it. Ohio State actually has won the last 4 Big Ten titles. The last time that Ohio State was gunning for it and then didn't have such a good time, we're going to play it right here.
Here's Barrett on first down and 10. J.K. Dobbins is the single setback. They send him out in motion to the right. All sorts of time for Barrett, and it's intercepted. It's picked off right away. Intercepted, Amani Hooker. Pick 6. 8 seconds into the game. Iowa leads.
Throw the ball left. You're going to see right here.
Okay, I'll spare the rest. It's actually an 11-minute clip, but I had to bring that on. Got to play the Hawks busting open that game. 55-24. They absolutely bitch-slapped the Ohio State Buckeyes that year. Now, Ohio State won the Big Ten that year but did not go to the playoffs. We knocked them out with that 55-24 stadium. But, yeah, if you're going to – look, if you're like in a pool picking teams, do something like what Holger, by the way, welcome Holger to our chat room with Indy Hawk. Do something, pick a Minnesota, you know, pick Wisconsin, don't pick Michigan because they're not going to win. Pick Penn State even, but you know, picking Ohio State to win the Big Ten is like, or picking Oklahoma to win the Big 12. That's just, come on. Anybody can do that. Let's see, Jacksonville Jaguars rookie running back Travis Etienne is going to miss the 2021 season with a foot injury. He was placed on injured reserve before the 53-man roster, so he is not eligible to return this season. He hurt it Monday night, played two different plays where he got the ball Monday night in their exhibition loss to New Orleans. Tests yesterday showed the extent of the damage. It's known as a Lisfranc injury, and surgery has been scheduled. By the way, a Lisfranc injury is described on Google thusly: a tarsometatarsal fracture dislocation characterized by traumatic disruption between the articulation of the medial cuneiform and base of the second metatarsal. Clears that up, I guess. Andy Hawk still got that Hawkeye play, probably that whole game, on his DVR, the Ohio State in 2017. Folks, go to YouTube and just do the highlights. It's glorious. Anyway, Travis Etienne, he was a monster at Clemson. In his career there, he led all running backs in the country 55 runs over 20 yards. 55 runs over 20 yards in 4 years. That's 14 a year. Basically won a game for them. He's their all-time leading rusher, 4,952 yards. He's basically limited by the fact they had great quarterbacks and receivers while he was there because his numbers are exceptional. He was a two-time ACC player of the year, two-time ACC offensive player of the year. He had absurd yards per carry and yards per reception numbers. He scored a TD in 46 career games. It's a huge loss for the Jaguars. It's not going to help rookie quarterback Trevor Lawrence, one of his college teammates. The ACC and Big Ten and Pac-12 have announced an alliance to help stabilize the college football environment. In reality, this is just a way to stop the SEC and ESPN from controlling college football playoff narrative from top to bottom. It's really what it's about. The agreement includes academic promotion, scheduling across men and women's basketball as well as football, lessens the incentive to cross-poach each other's teams. In addition to the three conference commissioners, the presidents, chancellors, and ADs of all the conference members approved the move. Also telling during the news conference, all three commissioners mentioned that they want the Big 12 to survive. Now, we've talked about the Big 12 members that have left, Texas and Oklahoma, but former Northwestern athletic director, he's a new ACC commissioner, Jim Phillips, here's what he said. He said, "We want and need the Big 12 to do well. The Big 12 matters in college athletics. The Big 12 matters in Power 5 athletics and our FBS group, Football Bowl Subdivision." Now, Brother Tommy on the phone today said, yeah, that's just lip service, probably. But, I think what they're trying to do is make sure that ESPN and SEC don't control the narrative. Apparently, other items discussed during this news conference, the future structure of the NCAA, social justice and gender equity issues, always important for athletic directors and conference commissioners to discuss, future of the college football playoff, possible expansion. They also noted that they are in weekly contact with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey and Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby. Bob Bowlsby's job is looking kind of hanging by a thread. Particularly interesting was the comment that SEC expansion of Texas and Oklahoma isn't going to happen for another 4 years, almost as if an alliance will swerve in the direction of negating or mitigating that move. I don't know. Why doesn't Notre Dame join the conference? Why do they need to? I'll tell you when they need to, when they're with NBC is up. That's when they'll start to be hurt. He's not about to throw on Notre Dame. If Notre Dame gets a playoff, yeah, maybe, but not likely. Speaking of NBC, they're too busy doing all their stuff. I mean, if you watch some of their shows, it's like, yeah, it's all about social justice stuff. I mean, it's not about good old-fashioned crime anymore. Anyway, while they'll keep existing contracts in order for their non-conference games, Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren hinted at possible changes, such as 8-game conference schedules for the Big Ten and Pac-12. The ACC already has 8-game schedules, as well as preserving some of the games all three conferences have with Big 12 and SEC schools. And yes, Holger, Notre Dame is in the Big Ten for hockey, not for basketball, not for football, obviously, but for hockey. Maybe something else, something that doesn't really matter. I don't know about track. I don't think so for track either. Yeah, Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkov noted that going to an 8-game schedule before their current grant of rights expires would require approval from Fox Sports and ESPN, and that the conference would need to be able to offer compelling non-conference games for network partners. Yeah, I agree. So Hawkeye fans, by the way, the ISU game isn't going away just yet. Hockey is all that matters, according to Holger. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's just see. Yep, hockey is all that matters. Holger says so. Anyway, Hawkeye fans, the Iowa State game's not going away. So, you know, bit of irony. But it's still a possible expansion. And we'll decide if there is interest by the end of this week. If I had to guess, it's about whether or not there is viable interest in merging what's left of the Big 12. And if there is, well, then the SEC may just have their hands full when it comes to TV and media grant of rights and its desire to monopolize it. Syracuse head coach Dino Babers announced that the Orange will open the season under a dual quarterback situation. He says he's content to go with it right now and that two-year starter Tommy DeVito, no, before a couple of you pipe in, not that Tommy DeVito from Goodfellas, not him. No, just Tommy DeVito, a regular football player for Syracuse. Anyway, Tommy DeVito will be one of them and dual threat transfer Garrett Schrader. They both will bring certain skills and experience, he says. We will see. Basically, Syracuse finished 1-10 last year after DeVito went down with an injury. Schrader transferred in from Mississippi State. He threw for over 1,000 yards and rushed for over 500, one of three guys to do it last year. And then DeVito's back, but DeVito has the experience. I can't say I'm against a two-quarterback situation in the right situation. We'll see how it goes for Syracuse. Former Oregon starting quarterback Tyler Shaw, he left after being benched in their Fiesta Bowl loss to Iowa State season. He's been named the starter at Texas Tech. Now, he's replacing former Tech starter Ed Bowman, who transferred to Michigan. He also beat Henry Colombi, who played in six games for last season. College gets underway this weekend, five games on the slate. The best of those is probably Nebraska at Illinois. Although Hawaii at UCLA could be good as well. It'll be interesting to see if Chip Kelly is making any progress at UCLA. And it'll also be interesting to see what Brett Bielema brings to the Illini. We already know the problem Scott Frost is having at Nebraska. And you know what? I will not be upset if they continue. On the other hand, Bielema will be issuing he'll be an issue in recruiting against the Hawkeyes. As a former player for Iowa and as a former assistant, he knows how Iowa recruits. And when he was at Wisconsin, could call this flattering, but basically Bielema's way of recruiting when he was at Wisconsin was looking at Iowa's offer list and then going out and offering the same guys. I mean, that's pretty much what he did. He pretty much used Iowa's evaluation talents to do his advanced scouting when he was at Wisconsin. And it should be no different now that he's back in the Big Ten with the Illini. Okay, let's get to some politics news. Last Thursday, Yahoo News, I know. Anyway, Yahoo News posted an article from Washington Post describing why President Donald Trump is banned online on Twitter while the Taliban is not. The title of the article is, "Today's Taliban uses sophisticated social media practices that rarely violate the rules." Here's a couple snippets. This is just, when I read this, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. But it says, for a group that espouses ancient moral codes, the Afghan Taliban has used strikingly sophisticated social media tactics to build political momentum. And now that they're in power, to make a public case that they're ready to lead a modern nation state after nearly 20 years of war. It says that the messaging from Taliban supporters typically challenges the West's dominant image of the group as intolerant, vicious, and bent on revenge, while staying within the evolving boundaries of taste and content that tech companies use to police user behavior. I didn't write it. I'm not espousing it. I'm just telling you what they are. It almost makes you wonder what PR firm, PR in this case would stand for propaganda ritual. Really, what PR firm is doing such exemplary work for this new Taliban? It's almost like Facebook and Twitter and some of the rest were all like sending them memos or something. You think? Nah, couldn't be. I mean, I'm sure it's totally a coincidence that CNN reporter Clarissa Ward is in the midst of all this stuff, clad in full burqa, describing almost gleefully that the shouts of death to America come amidst a joyous and peaceful crew of folks. Oh. Yeah, Holger makes a good point. You wouldn't think that guys that stone women to death would be adept at Twitter. Yeah. Oh. By the way, here's a beauty from Dopey Joe. Says the Taliban is going through an existential crisis. He says they haven't changed, but rather are going through the said crisis in apparent quest for legitimacy on the world stage. Absolutely unbelievable. And again, this came during an interview last week on ABC with their La Dopey Nostra capo, George Stephanopoulos. Here's a few of those pieces, because this one, again, he says, no, I think they're going through a sort of existential crisis about do they want to be recognized by the international community as being a legitimate government? I'm not sure they do. Stephanopoulos asked him if the Taliban cared more about their beliefs than their standing. Biden said, well, they do, but they also care about whether they have food to eat, whether they have an income, that they can make any money and run an economy. They care about whether or not they can hold together the society that they, in fact, say they care so much about. No, they don't, Dopey Joe. He says he's not counting on any of that. He says, but that's part of what he thinks is going on. He says, I'm not sure I would have predicted, George, nor would you or anyone else, that when we decided to leave, that they'd provide safe passage for Americans to get out. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now Vito's in the chat room. We got several people on the phones too. We got I see Brother Tommy's number and Big Sister Hawkeye Mike's there. Sue was in earlier. And Holger and Vito now in the chat room with Indy Hawk. Yeah. He actually said that. He said, I'm not sure I would have predicted that when we decided to leave, they'd provide safe passage for Americans to get out. Well, guess what? They're not providing safe passage, Bijo. Where does he come up with this? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It seems our own alleged Vice President, Kamala Harris, took her trip to Vietnam. Although there was, quote, a mysterious health delay. For what it's worth, folks, it's treatable with antibiotics. Although we do have to worry about those newer strains, especially in her case. But yeah, just let's tell the vice president it's treatable with antibiotics. Despite their existential crisis, the Taliban decided to meet with our own CIA director, William Burns, this past Monday. Burns was allegedly sent by Dopey Joe. Anyone buying that? Yeah, me neither. Anyway, Burns met with Taliban leader Abdul Ghani Baradar. The discussion was over U.S. policy of complete military withdrawal from Afghanistan by August 31st, next Tuesday. A Taliban spokesman, seriously, the Taliban has spokesmen? Well, I know this. The Taliban does not have spokeswomen. Anywho, a Taliban spokesman said he was not aware if Burns and Baradar actually met. The White House and a CIA rep declined to comment on the story, which, of course, was first reported by Washington Post, or rather was first given to Washington Post by La Dopey Nostra before taking the time to deny it. Apparently, the Taliban has not agreed to any extensions beyond the August 31st deadline, while the White House is now accepting a Pentagon recommendation to observe the deadline. No word yet on a timetable for the next attack on U.S. soil. But if there's anything at which we really excel, it's either getting caught with our pants down or stepping up to blame the GOP or Donald Trump if and when something does happen. Seriously, what are we doing giving WAPO information like this anyway? How is it some of our media have friendly access to the Taliban? I mean, something is not adding up there, folks. Yeah, then again, they haven't added up for quite a while, have they? Speaking of not adding up, here's an obligatory COVID story. This one regarding alleged success with vaccine booster shots having success in Israel. Now, you got to remember, Israel was at one point ready to go to lockdowns and mandatory this and mandatory that. They're less than a month into their booster drive. They're seeing signs of progress in their high infection, whatever that means. Delta variant hit there in June. They had one of the world's fastest vaccine rollouts, but they went from single-digit daily infections and zero deaths to around 7,500 daily cases last week, with 600 hospitalized in serious condition and more than 150 dying. Now, again, 150 dying, that's an average week in average weekend in Chicago. Yeah, Beto and Holger are going back and forth about the alleged numbers of people that are being evacuated or not. Now, Beto points out, State Department said today 4,000 Americans have been evacuated. Somebody's lying. Anyway, on July 30th, Israel started doing a third dose of the Pfizer biotech vaccine to people over 60. They were the first country to do so. They expanded eligibility to 40 and up last week. And they're doing it to anyone who's given the vaccine at least 5 months previous. Now, it says that in the past 10 days, the pandemic is abating among the first age group. You know, these numbers, though, who knows? But so, yeah, supposedly the boosters are helping now. Johnson & Johnson, that's the old jab I got. That supposedly is going to be helping. New Israeli Prime Minister, by the way, Naftali Bennett, he will ask Dopey Joe to harden his stance on Iran when Bennett makes his first visit to the White House coming up. According to the story from Reuters, it is not expected to be successful. I guess the question I have is, why is Prime Minister Bennett wasting his time? To date, Dopey Joe has neither said nor done anything that would indicate a hardline stance on Iran, unless I'm missing something, not to mention anything else that President Trump did. Well, you know, really, whether it's Iran or energy independence or border security or anything else, La Dopey Nostra, their prime motivation has been to reverse anything President Trump did that was good for our country. Now, their secondary motion was to blame President Trump for each and every time it resulted in La Dopey Nostra screwing things up. Of course, with Afghanistan, they not only didn't take responsibility, they actually said they were continuing what President Trump had started. In other words, they reversed course on the one thing that big media and big left was calling them out on. And instead of taking responsibility, they just blamed Trump anyway by saying, we're only doing what Trump started. Amazing thing is even when the La Dopey Nostra does something terribly wrong, big media bends over to cover for them. Even after calling him out, they've figured out a way to cover. Anyway, it's amazing. Even though Bennett basically ousted Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he's not wavered from Netanyahu's, and by extension Israel's, he's not wavered from their mission to remain free and safe and preventing Iran from attaining nuclear weaponry. President Trump felt the same, of course. But what is it about Iran, and frankly the rest of radical Islam, that Dopey Joe and La Dopey Nostra find so attractive? I mean, I just don't get it. It's mind-boggling. I mean, I get throwing your lot in with one side or the other, but, I mean, I can't. I know people say they're anti-American and un-American, but I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a reason that you say that. You say that because they do stuff like that. They do stuff like go back on, you know. Back on COVID, evidently Jesse Jackson, Reverend Jesse Jackson, is responding to treatment for COVID at a Chicago hospital. Now, Jackson, he's 79. He had been vaccinated while his wife, who is also in the same hospital, has not. The Rev said she was not vaccinated because of a pre-existing condition. Now, the story noted that doctors and health experts urge people with certain conditions to get vaccinated in order to lessen the disease's impact. Unless, of course it's... Holger makes a good point. He wishes the Vietnamese government would play a joke and force alleged Vice President Kamala Harris to leave via the roof of the U.S. Embassy via a helicopter. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's only fitting. Anyway, the Rev is doing okay. But again, there we have it, right in the same damn house, presumably. One person vaccinated, one not vaccinated, both getting COVID. Now, which egg came first? And which chicken laid that egg? I mean, seriously, everybody's saying it's, you know, it's the non-vaccinated giving COVID to the vaccinated. And yet, we're seeing stories that the non-vaccinated are actually blaming the vaccinated, because the vaccinated are the ones that are, quote, carrying it. Two more COVID items. These are the last two, I swear. Well, until next week, anyway. First, Kathy Hochul became the first female governor of the state of New York. Not wasting any time, she got right to work rebuilding the trust and credibility sacrificed by Andrew Cuomo, because she promptly went with mask mandates in schools, mandatory vaccines for all school personnel, and thank God, making testing more widely available. Good Lord, will someone put that state out of our misery? I mean, holy cripes, they killed people in nursing homes. They sent people to other states. They killed small businesses and restaurants, and they want us to go back as long as we spend exorbitant amounts of money at places like Broadway and other lefty hangouts. But by God, they got the schools in line with COVID protocols. Meanwhile, rapper Busta Rhymes is going the opposite way. Sure, look, folks, I'm sure he's going to vote Big D come 2022 and 2024. Don't fool yourself. This isn't to tell you that Busta Rhymes is suddenly a Republican or a conservative. He's not. But at least he's pissed off at all the COVID hysteria and its weaponization to invade our privacy and control our everyday lives. And in a recent concert, he said, or rapped, I'm not sure which, the following. He said, actually, you know what? I'm going to read it because it's so much more poetic reading what Busta Rhymes said at his concert. And no, I'm not going to rap it. But here's what he said. Okay, here we go. This is my second show in front of human life in the last 16 effing months. COVID can suck a, you know what? All these little weird-ass government policies and mandates can suck a... he said, the government is trying to take our civil liberties away. No human being is supposed to tell you you can't even breathe freely. Breathe freely. F your mask. Stop trying to take our civil liberties away. Energy is important. It's called the God-given right of freedom, right? No human being is supposed to tell you that you can't even breathe freely. We can't eat food with an effing mask on. We can't even see each other's smiles with a mask on. He says, I come from a time way before. I used to want to holler at a chick. Holler at a chick. I used to have to do shit with my face to let her know I'm into her, he said on stage. All of that energy gets blocked when your mask is on. Energy is important, and we are all conductors of good energy. Folks, this ain't from me. This is you're hearing this straight from Busta Rhymes. So, yes, folks, we still are seeking our first dose of reality, or sanity, I should say, on the COVID front. Look, I'm pissed about COVID. I'm hacked at Big Left's weaponization of it. But you're not going to ever hear me telling COVID to suck, anything. And finally, our final item from the world of politics was posted by our own Global Patriot Radio Twitter account. So I'm not really even pilfering anything here, not even a little bit. Our former Border Patrol chief, Rodney Scott, was forced out by Joe Biden. Okay, he was forced out by Barack Obama, but Biden delivered the order, apparently. you know, just like any good Cosa Nostra family. In the words of Willie Cheechee, a lot of buffers. A lot of buffers. So that's evidently, it's a lot of buffers. So what happened basically, this former leader of the, I got that somewhere. I had it right here. Vito probably erased it, but I had Willie Cheechee, a lot of buffers in the, I had it downloaded. I swear to God, I was going to play it for you folks. Basically what happened, this guy on his retirement video, basically said that the real crisis at the border is more than meets the eye. It's in addition to the typical folks coming across illegally to sponge off the system and add to Democrat voter rolls. He says, we have actual terrorists. Now, the Daily Mail is where I believe Al got the story, and he talks about he says, let me find it. Okay. Over and over again, he says, I see people talk about our mission being immigration or the current crisis being immigration. He says, but that's just – A component. What we are in is a national security crisis. Now he says there are massive amounts of human smuggling going across the southwest border, which includes terrorists that are on the terrorist screening database. The number of these individuals has increased in the midst of it. We've seen a 21-year high with illegal immigrants. Now, Border Patrol doesn't deny that the number of terrorist encounters has increased, but they assured that there are systems in place. Yeah, sure there are. Our former chief of Border Patrol, Rodney Scott, no less, is telling us that this is what's going on. Now, you can pretty much gather why he's no longer our leader of our Border Patrol. I get that. But what I don't get is how they give us this garbage of, you know, he was fired by Biden. Biden's not doing any of this anymore, folks. Let's just get right to it. He is not doing any of this anymore. He's really not. Rodney Scott released this, there were four encounters. Let's go back. They were four encounters where they stopped four people on the terror watch list from Serbia and Yemen, which is greater than the average total seen over a whole year. And this was in January alone. Now, a news release about it was taken down right after it was published. And that's probably what got Rodney Scott going. Now, he did serve a year under Trump, tired later on. He says he's worried the Biden administration is focusing too much on migrant families and unaccompanied minors when there are real terrorist threats posed by this vulnerable border. He says your peers or you who are taking criminals, pedophiles, rapists, and murderers, but they're also taking, and he said, TSDB. They're taking alerts off and keeping them safe from America. Oh, God, this is when I get all depressed when I see this kind of stuff. I mean, do we really want to, like, tell every illegal immigrant never come here? No, that's not what we're saying. Well, we don't want them coming illegally. But when you see that how the border is used I don't know. I mean, it would seem to me, well, I don't know. It's Congress is not to be trusted, so let's not even go there with Congress anyway. So anyway, hey, I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll come back, and I'll finish up with a couple poly sports items, and then we will talk about a couple predictions for this weekend's football games. And then I'm going to tell you, Vito is going to be hosting next week. I hope he remembers that, because I'm heading to 1 week from today. I'm going to be in Seattle for my daughter's wedding, and Vito will be doing the show. Hopefully he'll cover a little bit of college football preview for me. I might even get some call-ins from Andy Hawk or Brother Tommy or Hawkeye Mike, maybe even T. Bodie. That would be, wouldn't that be something? But anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and then I will be back with some more, well, some polysports stuff. So be right back, folks. Stylings of Ennio Morricone, that is from Once Upon a Time in America, one of the best mob movies ever. There will come a time, and it's going to happen before this year is out. I'm telling you, it's going to happen before 2021 is out. We're going to do a mob movie review. Remember we did a movie review last year with Brother Tommy and Hawkeye Mike and I? Well, we're going to do a mob movie review. We're going to get Vito in on it. We'll let other people part if they want to, but Brother Tommy, Hawkeye Mike, and Vito. I'm telling you, we'll tear it up. It'll be a great show. Probably be a two-parter. Probably would have to be. Anyway, folks, I swear I loaded a lot of buffers today, and I looked on a different – I opened a new tab of this show, and it's showing in there, but it's not showing up here on the dashboard. So I don't know. I'll have to fix it because basically a lot of buffers. Anyway, okay, I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on – Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com. If you want to call the show, of course, 319-527-6706, or just come in via the website. If you follow me on Twitter, I put out the direct link to the show every week. I mean, so all you have to do is click on it and you go right to it. You can dial in too, but if you get my texts and stuff, I do it that way, too. I give you the number, but I also give you the link, so you can come in either way. Anyway, and some poly sports. First off, the NRA has canceled its annual meeting this year. It was scheduled for Labor Day weekend. It was scheduled for Houston. Now, they cited COVID concerns. And I'm not doubting that, but here's the beauty of this, though. First, it's Houston, which is virulently anti-Second Amendment. Virulently pro-cop killing, and it's pretty much Big Left's refuge within the state of Texas. So that's one part of it. Second, they are, in a sense, throwing it right back in the faces of those who weaponized COVID in the first place. Look, the NRA is relocating to Texas, but canceling this year's event gives them time to move it when it's rescheduled, because frankly, Houston simply doesn't deserve the event. It really doesn't. They noted that they still plan to hold the 2022 event in Louisville. But this year, the NRA annual meeting in Houston is called off. Now, and the reason I think this is beautiful, you know how, you know, they moved the All-Star Game and other events are being canceled in places that have put in place legally through legal means have passed strengthened voter reforms, election reforms. So in this case, you know, it's a reversal. It's like, hey, Houston, yeah, bagged it. I remember how Hitler Jr., a.k.a. Arnold Schwarzenegger, was telling us recently to screw you of freedom or whatever it was he said. I can't understand the guy. Anyway, he said something un-American and straight out of his dad's Nazi past. Anyway, we know now that somebody didn't cotton to it. A company called Redcon One, which is a sports nutrition brand, has pulled its sponsorship from the Arnold Classic. That is one of the Governator's steroid fests, you know. It's where they got, basically, it's where guys shoot up steroids and then parade around in Speedos with each other and somehow don't feel weird or creepy or gross while they're doing it. Whatever. That's their, hey, that's their thing, whatever. But so anyway, Redcon One is pulling sponsorship. And here's how they said it. They said, to be clear, we did not pull out of not just that event, any other events that Schwarzenegger is involved in. They said, to be clear, we did not pull out of the event because of a mask issue. We understand. I just lost it. I had it here. Okay. We understand the importance of public safety as well as the responsibilities of all event organizers. These are unprecedented times, and we are aligned with public safety for all. We elected to discontinue support due to Arnold's comment, screw your freedoms, a spokesman for the company said. With the global influence Arnold personally possesses, we find that ideology dangerous and anti-American. Redcon One is a patriotic pro-freedom brand rooted in the uncompromising, unapologetic belief that you, as an American, are entitled to your freedoms and opinion, and should not be insulted or persecuted for having a varying view. We support everyone's individual freedoms, the statement concludes. Redcon One founder Aaron Singerman also voiced his opposition to Schwarzenegger's comments on a personal social media, saying, for the last 15 years, I've been attending the Arnold Classic, and for at least a decade, I've been a sponsor of the contest. I've loved Arnold as long as I remember, and credit him for my initial interest in bodybuilding and fitness. I've looked at him as a role model. A guy who had nothing and no advantages, who never made an excuse and created tremendous success. He became an icon based on his work ethic, his charisma, and his grit. It's with a heavy heart and some genuine sadness that Redcon One has decided to discontinue any and all support for the Arnold Classic and the other Arnold-related events around the world. We've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars being a top sponsor of the event, and this year the exclusive sponsor of the webcast. But we can't, in good conscience, continue to support and be involved with someone who has such diametrically opposed beliefs. In a controversial interview, by the way, Schwarzenegger had a message for those arguing that freedom is more important than wearing masks. He said, people should know that there is a virus here. It kills people. And the only way to prevent it is to get vaccinated, wear masks, do social distancing, washing your hands all the time, and not just think about, well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. This from a guy who puts on a Speedo after he shoots up steroids, walks around in a Speedo all oiled up and whatnot. He says, no, screw your freedom, because with freedom comes obligations and responsibilities. We cannot just say, I have the right to do X, Y, and Z. When you infect other people, that is when it gets serious. Actually, Arnold, with freedom, you can say, I have the right to do X, Y, and Z. And as long as you're not hurting the greater public willfully, then you're free. Just because someone could get, I mean, here's the idiocy of this. Just because someone could get COVID, number one, doesn't mean they will. obviously. But the fact that you could get COVID doesn't mean that you have to walk around with a mask so that you don't accidentally get it and pass it on to someone. In other words, you can't it's like the people that argue against the Second Amendment. By the way, when he was governor of California, he was not a friend of the Second Amendment in many ways. You know, people forget, you know, he put an R next to his name. But this guy was married to Maria Shriver. You know, it ain't like, you know, he may have been more conservative than her, but let's not fool ourselves. Vito points out you could get COVID and stand a 99.7% chance of surviving. My point being, the fact that you could get COVID doesn't mean you have to walk around masking up and staying away from people in the event that you might get it and might pass on. I mean, if I go out of my car, I could run over someone, but the fact that I'm going to doesn't mean that I should go 4 miles an hour and only drive on back roads, or that I should avoid all roads with foot traffic, or that I shouldn't go into 7-Eleven because people might be loitering in the parking lot. I mean, my gun could go off if I pulled the trigger, but the fact that I'm walking around with a gun in a holster safe from anyone else doesn't mean it's going to go off and shoot people. I mean, a gun, okay, when people talk about money being the root of all evil, it's not. It's the love of money. Money and guns share one very common characteristic. They are both amoral, not immoral, amoral. They have no moral properties. They have no properties. I mean, a gun can't shoot itself. Money can't spend itself. Money can't go or walk around corrupting things. Money doesn't have those properties. Guns don't have those properties. Guns cannot shoot unless they are shot. They have to be activated. As Vito says, you could get the mumps. You could get the measles. You could get the clap. Yeah, just be, you know, Kamala Harris could infect her next person that she hooks up with. But we don't go around and you know, sandblast her before she gets up and, you know, greets her day, so to speak. I mean, and that's just it. That's what's happened now. That's probably the biggest thing with COVID is that it's now become you have a responsibility because you could get it and infect someone. And that's, you know, if it were something that were really dangerous, and in the initial stages, certainly we didn't know. We know now, though, it's 99.7% survival rate. That means if 1,000 people get it, 997 are going to survive for every 1,000. I mean, that's just to turn that into a referendum on taking away freedom. Well, Holger's in our chat room. You remember Holger called in half a year ago, 6 months ago, somewhere in there, and he talked about the flu numbers in Minnesota. Well, that's happening still. You know, flu cases are down. Flu reporting is down. And here's what someone said. One guy said, well, that just goes to show masks work. Now, anyone want to point out the idiocy there? If masks work to eliminate flu, then by extension, because it's a virus, they would eliminate COVID, would they not? But it hasn't eliminated COVID. Now, remember, we've had all this surge, Delta variant, surge, people not masking, people not vaccinated. Well, why haven't flu cases gone up? Or have they? But they're being reported as COVID. Look, I'm not one of these anti-vax types. I'm not an anti. If you want to wear a mask personally, I mean, look, my wife and I, you know, we're going to a wedding next week. We have withdrawn from certain stuff. We've blown off a couple social engagements because we're not going to risk it. We're just not. Why? I mean, we've both been vaccinated, but you know what? Vaccinated people are getting it. But why risk it at this point? You know, we got vaxxed not because I'm such a big vax proponent either, but I did it because I wanted to go to my daughter's wedding. Same reason my wife did it. It's not so much that, you know, look, if we get off a plane in Seattle, speaking of Nazis, you know, hey, we got it shown. We can show, hey, we've been vaccinated. Get out of our case. You know, here's the irony. College football. If you get vaccinated, you don't have to be tested every week. So how many guys are going to be vaccinated and show up on game day with a little, just a cough, coach? Well, they're not going to be tested. He's vaccinated. No test. How many are going to play that might have it? Not that I care, frankly. But see where I'm going? See what I'm talking about? A guy could have it, but because he's been vaxxed, they're not going to test him so he can play. And he may be asymptomatic. Remember, a lot of these we're talking about are asymptomatic. Like, oh, you can be asymptomatic, and that's why you're passing it on. But you won't be tested. Meanwhile, in New York, they're opening up more testing sites again. Remember when my friend Rich was on back on January 6th after being at the Stop the Steal rally? Remember what he talked about? He talked about, why are we still doing so much testing? He's a PA. I mean, he works in the medical field. He's saying, why are we doing all this testing? Don't have symptoms and you don't feel sick. Don't get tested. Holger just pointed out, if they've been including flu and COVID numbers, and Fauci says that flu mortality is 0.1%, that means COVID mortality is really only 0.2%, not 0.3%. Vito gave the real reason. Government needs to gather as much DNA as possible. Isn't that just, that's what it's all about, folks. Databases and everything else. So let's get off of this for a second. This next one is, this one's what Poly Sports is all about, by God. This is from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, although it's been reported everywhere, but former Georgia Bulldog, Heisman winner, and NFL running back Herschel Walker has filed paperwork to establish his candidacy for the Georgia U.S. Senate seat currently held by Raphael Warnock. Now, if you'll remember, Warnock and fellow Dem John Ossoff were both beneficiaries of late-night vote number reversals in the state's runoff election on January 5th. He's being endorsed by President Trump. He filed the paperwork shortly after he registered to vote in Georgia, which means obviously he will be relocating there from his current home in Texas. Not surprisingly, big media has already attacked his personal life. They haven't dropped the Uncle Tom tag, but don't worry, that's coming. They'll be dropping that one. Give you an idea, though, of how ill-informed big media can be. They have yet to cite the original tie between Walker and President Trump. They've gone on all this other stuff, like Walker's been a fan of Trump. And they say Walker hasn't always registered to vote, and Walker's done this, his wife did this, and, you know, all that. They don't, you know, they were part of the apparatus that helped destroy the organization related to that original tie-in between the two, believe it or not. Anybody know where that original tie-in between President Trump and Herschel Walker began? Any of you in the chat room want to pipe in? Indy Hawk should know. If you guys are on the phones and you have an idea, hit that one and tell me. Because there is a tie-in between President Donald Trump and Herschel Walker. Hawkeye Mike just piped in. Mike, come on, hit the one. Come on in. Ah, Vito knows it as well. My generals, the New Jersey Generals, that's correct. Not the New Jersey Generals or whatever that used to play the Globetrotters. Yes, President Trump owned the New Jersey Generals in the United States Football League. And the reason I say that the big media was part of that, remember, the USFL was suing the NFL. And one of those that helps testify for the NFL were media members. And they said they didn't have to show the NFL because it wasn't the draw. Well, spring numbers showed that the NFL did, in fact, the USFL did, in fact, do well. The big media lied about the USFL numbers. That came out after the verdict and the antitrust had been settled for $1, which awarded the USFL under antitrust law $3. But, yeah, Holger says he didn't realize Trump owned a football team. All Biden has ever owned is a sippy cup. That's true. Okay, Mike, bring it.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Yeah, I remembered that about the old USFL. Was it the New Jersey Generals that Trump owned?
It was New Jersey Generals. And Vito pointed out it was the Washington Generals that that played the Globetrotters. I know there was a New Jersey version, though, too, at some point.
That's right. That's right.
And Biden probably played for them.
Meadowlark and Curly. Yeah, you got it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I loved that cartoon. That was the best cartoon Saturday mornings, the Harlem Globetrotters cartoon. Well, I'm glad you're on because I also want to ask, so what are you thinking for Nebraska-Illinois this weekend?
You know what? I think Nebraska could have their hands full. I got a feeling Bielema is going to pounce. We'll see. But, well, first of all, I don't really have a lot of respect for the Nebraska program. So the game is at Illinois. I think Illinois is going to rise up, and I'm picking them to win.
Holger in the chat room says, turn off Days of Our Lives. He can hear your TV, so you must be, he says, tell him to turn off Days of Our Lives. I didn't know it was Days of Our Lives.
No, that's not what it was.
Oh, okay. It was probably CNN, right? Was CNN?
No. Yeah, CNN. That's right. Yeah. I always have to watch The Enemy.
So, anyway, yeah, it's at, now last year, Illinois won at Nebraska, if I remember correctly, by pretty big, like, by 15 or 18 points. So yeah, Nebraska's got problems too. I mean, they've had several guys hit the transfer portal. They're now under investigation for, you know, I talked about it a little bit last week, but they're under investigation for holding workouts during the pandemic when they were unauthorized off site. I think Nebraska's gonna, I think Scott Frost has got to win. He's got to go 500 this year. I think they'll pitch him if he's as bad as he's been.
Could be his last year. Both he and Harbaugh are kind of in the hot seat.
Yeah, Harbaugh, I wonder about just from the standpoint that, you know, he can get another job. Frost, I don't know. Where does Frost go from here, you know? I mean, UCF wouldn't want him back, so to speak. Now that they got Gus Malzahn especially. But, no, I mean, I'm just, you know.
Maybe Iowa State after Campbell moved on.
Yeah. Are you hearing any talk of, I mean, I'm hearing basic stuff that, you know, there's talks. But, you know, I'm seeing, you know, some people are saying, oh, Big Ten's going to definitely somebody said Dave Wannstedt was quoted as saying he was in a meeting with Fox Sports and that it's definitely Iowa State and Kansas to the Big Ten.
You know, that rumor's been floating around a little while, and I won't say there's nothing to it, but I guess the problem I have is I don't quite understand what either team really brings to the Big Ten in terms of bringing in audience and stuff. That doesn't necessarily mean that it won't happen, but I just I'm trying to look at this from the Big Ten angle. Do they really add that much to the conference? I don't know. It could be kind of a situation. It was suggested that maybe a couple teams in the Big 12 will go to the Pac-12 and maybe West Virginia to the ACC. And, you know, in that kind of an environment, I suppose it's possible, but like I've said before, we don't really know how this is all going to pan out after what happened with Oklahoma and Texas. It's going to take a while for the dust to settle, so to speak.
Well, I thought it was very telling during the news conference when they said, you know, that this is still, you know, this still has to shake out. It's still not going to take effect for 4 years. And they, you know, those guys wouldn't have said that without having some kind of, you know, obviously they as I said, they talked to SEC commissioner and the Big 12 commissioner, you know, weekly. But, you know, that's a good point. You know, people say, oh, they'll just get out early by getting an advance on TV rights money from the big from the SEC that they will do that. But the problem with that, evidently, is that they still lose all grant of rights money and cannot get SEC grant of rights money before that contract is up. Now, I don't know. You know, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't really know. But, you know, there's enough said that they can't just pay them off and get out early. And that's why they've said 2025.
Right. Yeah. Right. But it's hard for me to see them stand for that long. I'm not even sure that it's to the benefit of the rest of the Big 12 to try to make them. Maybe they can make them pay up some sort of premium penalty and move on. It probably in the long run won't hurt Oklahoma and Texas that bad because of the money that the revenue they're going to get by going into the SEC. But we'll see. I think what's more interesting is this alliance thing that with the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12. It's kind of amorphous right now. You know, no signed. It's kind of a gentleman's agreement, as they say. But I think it's a bit of a sort of, you know, yeah, we're not getting too. We just want to let the SEC and maybe the rest of college football know if you really want to start playing hardball, you know. That's basically 41 teams. If you were to absorb the remnant of the Big 12 and maybe Notre Dame, you got 50 teams there. And, if you want to get into warfare, right, is the SEC, if you froze them out with that kind of an alliance potentially, the SEC, I mean, who do they play with, outside their conference? You know, Mercer, Georgia Southern, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, the other thing they talked about is, you know, a couple of different people have talked about. Pat Forty is one of them he'll be on Big Ten Network on occasion, but I think he writes for Yahoo Sports. But he pointed out that he said, look, the college presidents don't take the academic side of it lightly, and they're the ones that vote this stuff. And one of the things they talked about is the average, you know, according to like the U.S. News Report, those rankings, that the SEC's rankings are definitely on average lower. You know, they're lower than the other conferences, and adding Texas helps them, but adding Oklahoma does not. And, you know, in the terms of, you know, on the world stage, you know, out, you know, it's not just about sports in terms of what you get in the real world, so to speak. You know, really the SEC it would be hard pressed. I mean, they're talking about, you know, different kind of, you know, research grants and stuff like that. And guess what? In that kind of scenario, there's no, I mean, the S, when it comes to the ACC, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12, you know, Notre Dame would be the king there. It would be the king, you know, would be the key thing. If they were to be able to pull Notre Dame into that alliance, you know, then SEC's bargaining chip takes a huge hit.
And I think with the ACC involved, which the Notre Dame's sort of certainly has an alliance of its own with, almost like a shadow member, and to some extent, I think at some point, you know, Notre Dame's going to have to make a decision about, you know, I don't think this independent stuff's going to fly much longer.
It's not. I don't see how. If they want, I mean, like I said, somebody hold your ass in the chat room. Why is Notre Dame not joining a conference? Well, right now they've got the NBC commitment, but NBC's not about to re-up that commitment, and frankly can't afford to. I mean, they took a bath on the Olympics. They haven't given the full numbers on that, but they did lose on the Olympics. They know it's going to be a loss. So, you know, I mean, I just don't see it.
Yeah,
and,
big time.
So we'll see. I mean, the other side of that coin, though, is politically the SEC tends to be more, I would say, more conservative than the other conference members, other than maybe some of the Big 12 and some of the Big 10, and maybe a school or two in the ACC. So there would be that political, you know, football, so to speak. But yeah, I just think it's going to be, you know, are you back to Illinois, Nebraska? Are you going to watch that game or not? Are you going to
Do you have something
more important to do? Like,
you know,
I'm
a big college football fan. I gotta watch it. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I have that.
I'll be rooting for Illinois.
I am too. I gotta admit. Holger says in the chat room, Minnesota brings the academic numbers up, but they don't know how to hike a football. They don't bring the academic numbers up, buddy. But as he pointed out, otherwise, they're off this week. Minnesota's off this weekend because they're doing a telethon to raise funds for the new Taliban government. That's true. Minnesota is a hotbed.
Oh, you're kidding.
I think he's kidding. But, I mean, it's, you know, that's the home of Ilhan Omar, who I know Holger is one of her biggest fans, I believe. I could be wrong on that. But
I think the university is in her constituency, you know, in her district. So, like, you know, that's – you want to – who's voting for this woman? Look at the campus. I mean, look at the student body there at the University of Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, look at half their football team. You know, I mean, if you look at their roster, no, seriously, look at their roster. There's a lot of guys on that team that appear to be, you know, at some point in their, you know, possibly Islamic related, which I could care less as long as they're not, you know, doing anything to hurt anyone else. But.
As long as they didn't immigrate by marrying a sibling.
Yeah, well, hold your point. They vote for Ilhan Omar because Stalin and Mao are dead. Oh, my God.
Right, right.
Yeah, I bet that plays well on the radio stations in Minnesota. I don't know. I mean, is this the Nebraska-Illinois thing? Because I grew up in Illinois, but went to Iowa, and my heart's in Iowa. I just have problems with Illinois. I mean, I always have. I hated Mike White. You know, I hated some
yeah,
of the,
yeah.
I hate, you know, I, but when it comes to Illinois versus Nebraska, yeah, I got to take Illinois. I got to root for them. I'm certainly thinking they will win, but the other game though, here's a good one. Hawaii and UCLA. Because
is that on this weekend?
Yeah, that's Saturday. Because Chip Kelly is, you know, Chip Kelly is. I think he's getting close to the. He may not be at hot seat status yet, but he's getting there. I gotta believe he's getting there. If he doesn't, you know, if he has another 2 or 3 win season, especially in a 12-game season, he's going to be gone. You know, and you remember he was such a guru, offensive guru at Oregon, and he's not been able to put it together. But Hawaii has not been the last several years they've been no slouch. They've been, you know, they've had a pretty good team the last several years. So I think that could be an indicator. Of course, it's in UCLA, but so they'll all be masking, I'm sure. They'll all be wearing masks. But
well, you know, it's just 10 days now till the Hawk opener against Indiana, and it's going to be a great – that's sort of like the true opening weekend, right, that Saturday.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's some great games. In addition to Iowa-Indiana, which I think will be a great game, you've got Georgia-Clemson and Penn State-Wisconsin. I think that's a pretty good way to start this.
Well, then the Thursday night game that week for Big Ten is Ohio State-Minnesota.
And right, right. And
I hate to say this with Holger in the chat room and listening, but Minnesota is getting some love from some of the Joshua Perry on Big Ten Network likes them. Several people on Fox Sports.
DiNardo.
Yeah, DiNardo likes them. Now, Holger says early season upset alert. Next Thursday, Gophers take down the Buckeyes. Holger, the Hawkeyes know how to do that. The Gophers don't. Vito points out Georgia Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. You know, I mean, it's good. Oh, the game is in Minnesota. Remember last year's Iowa-Minnesota game? That was in Minnesota too. Just so you know,
right.
Yeah, you guys were taking timeouts at the end just so you could try and score on our third team defense.
Yeah, calling timeouts just so they could desperate attempt to get some points on the board
on the third team defense. So anyway, hey, I'm going to bring brother
exactly.
Tommy in, but without his music. But brother Tommy's coming in. So
okay,
what's up, man?
Yeah,
brother Tommy.
Just a quick one because I got to go back upstairs. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Just a quick one because I got to go upstairs. Minnesota got love last year. They got love the year before. I'm calling – he's a great guy and all that, but I just don't think it's going to work out to the level that they say it is. I didn't hear you guys because I had to go, but I caught the end of it. Beth, my dark horse team is Illinois. I think Bielema is going to knock it out of the park. Is that the tone there? Or?
Well, they're going to knock it out against Nebraska. I don't – Indy Hawks asking why no music because we're under We only got 6 minutes left, or less than 6 minutes
all
left.
All right, real quick, let me just finish it up by saying I got a friend that's an Illinois grad. Hank, you know him. He was on the Illinois football team. He actually spoke highly of White, but he kind of gets what you're saying about some things. But White really took care of him in a financial way, gave him his fifth year, even though he wasn't playing. But, what were we just talking about before that?
Whether he's going to do it against
I was talking to him, the Illinois ex-football player, and he gets all the back news and all of that, and he said Bielema has been knocking out of the park recruiting wise. He got two guys from Iowa, and you guys might have already talked about it, so I'll let you go, but I'm just saying they're going to surprise you. In a sense, it's Brett's last chance at big time F5, in a sense, maybe because of Wisconsin. But the thing about Bielema that I hate that people say is he rode Alvarez's coattails. Well, think about it for a second. How did Osborne people do after he left? How did Michigan's people do? Lloyd Carr, how did they do after he left? So I think it's a cop-out to say he's no good. I know there's mixed feelings by Iowa fans, but I would take Bielema as a coach at Iowa in the New York minute.
Yeah, well, you know, Bielema, I think he did good on his own, too, but and he blew it when he left Wisconsin to go to Arkansas. That was the big mistake, I think.
That was the dumbest move he could have possibly made, which makes you wonder if there's a backstory there, too. I think he has kind of a reputation because there's no way he could have succeeded at Arkansas. It's just not – it just wasn't right for him, but Hank, I didn't know you only had 6 minutes, so I'll let you go. But I just
I got to give you guys a laugh of the week. I was going to say that I had plenty. I had a laughy of the week that I've trying to get. You know, occasionally, something really funny or stupid. I've replaced it. This week's laughy, Holger predicts Nebraska 28, Illinois 13.
I think that's wrong. What is the line down to? Was that 7?
I don't know. Nebraska's back, right? It's the Osborne years all of a sudden.
Another thing that they've been saying for what now, 3 years?
Yeah. Right. Scott Frost is going to do it. Frost is there. Yeah, it's not going to happen. So.
Yeah. I don't think so just either, but I know you had a couple of minutes left, so I'll let you go, but just wanted to chime in.
Okay, well, no, cool. I thank you for calling. Guys, I'm gonna sign you both off so that I can play the fight song, since I won't be able to play it next week. So hopefully Vito will play it. But anyway, so thanks for talking. I'll talk to you guys later. And if you're listening next week, call in, because I'm going to ask Vito to do a great show, and you know he will. So we'll talk to you guys later.
Okay. Take care, Hank.
Thanks. Okay, that is it. The laughy of the week was going to be something really funny, but once Holger dropped that Nebraska prediction, that's this week's laughy. Hey, Holger, we love you, but no, Nebraska is not beating Illinois in Champaign. Hey, we got next week Vito hosting the show. Hopefully he'll talk some college football, and feel free to call in. But in the meantime, since I won't be able to do it next week, we're sending you off with the Hawkeye fight song. Have a good one, folks. Good night, folks.